May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn number 1065. O Thou from whom all goodness flows, I lift my heart to Thee. In all my sorrows, conflicts, woes, Jesus, remember me. Hymn 1065.
May the Lord help us to read from his holy word, the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 33. Jeremiah, chapter 33. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, The Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. For thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the houses of this city, and concerning the houses of the kings of Judah, which are thrown down by the mounts and by the sword. They come to fight with the Chaldeans, but it is to fill them with the dead bodies of men, whom I have slain in mine anger and in my fury, and for all whose wickedness I have hid my face from this city. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. And I will cause the captivity of Judah and the captivity of Israel to return, and will build them as at the first. And I will cleanse them from all their iniquity whereby they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities whereby they have sinned and whereby they have transgressed against me. And it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise and an honour before all the nations of the earth, which shall hear all the good that I do unto them, and they shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and for all the prosperity that I procure unto it. Thus saith the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye say shall be desolate, without man and without beast, even in the cities of Judah, and in the streets of Jerusalem that are desolate, without man and without inhabitant and without beast, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, Praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land, as at the first, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, again in this place which is desolate, without man and without beast, and in all the cities thereof shall be an habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. In the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the vale, and in the cities of the south, and in the land of Benjamin, and in the places about Jerusalem, and in the cities of Judah, shall the flocks pass again under the hands of him that telleth them, saith the Lord. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David, and he shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land. In those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel, neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings, and to kindle meat offerings, and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, If ye can break my covenant of the day, and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon his throne, and with the Levites the priests my ministers. As the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, saying, Considerest thou not what this people have spoken, saying, The two families which the Lord hath chosen, he hath even cast them off. Thus they have despised my people, that they should be no more a nation before them. Thus saith the Lord, If my covenant be not with day and night, and if I have not appointed the ordinances of heaven and earth, then will I cast away the seed of Jacob and David my servant, so that I will not take any of his seed to be rulers over the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For I will cause their captivity to return and have mercy on them. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord God Almighty, we beseech thee to look in mercy upon us and help us this evening, as we meet together through thy mercy around thy word in thy earthly courts. But what is the house to me unless the master there I see? Oh, condescend, Lord, do manifest thyself unto thy people, to show thyself through the lattice of thy word. O Lord, look forth at the windows, we pray. Oh, do fulfill thy gracious promises. Lord, I make her windows of agates and her gates of carbuncles, and all her borders of pleasant stones, and all her children shall be taught of the Lord. Oh, may we be taught of the Lord tonight. We need much teaching, Lord. And thou said, and great shall be the peace of thy children. Oh, speak peace, Lord, to them which are afar off and to them that were nigh. That peace through thy sin atoning sufferings and death. Peace by thy cross, Lord. Oh, we ask to feel and know the forgiveness of our sins. We ask for the Spirit's witness that Christ died for us. Assure our conscience of it, we pray. Lord, we seek that thy name may be glorified here. Lord, God may be exalted. The sinner laid low in the dust. And that look that sets us abhorring ourselves and adoring thyself. Oh, we pray for it. Make thyself increasingly precious to us. Thou knowest those of us to whom thou hast made thyself precious. But we would have it more so. Lord, we ask that thou wouldst do it. We cannot do it ourselves. Lord, all power belongeth unto thee. Oh, we thank thee that it is so, that thou art almighty. That lovely man that rules the courts of bliss, rule us, Lord. Oh, a sight of thee would do it. We would be brought, Lord, into submission to thee, to thy blessed will, and thy glorious gospel. Oh, save us, Lord, we pray, from all within us that opposes thee. Those other lords that try to have dominion over us and sometimes seem to succeed. Lord, we pray, do we beseech thee, cast them out. Erect thy throne within our hearts and reign without a rival there. Lord, do not let us build our nest short of heaven. Lord, we do beseech thee. Bear us on thy wings. Lord, from this earth and its things, the wings of faith. Oh, we pray for it. Those who may have come into thy house this evening, and they feel to be so earthbound. Lord, do we beseech thee, take us and mount and bear us far above the reach of these inferior things. Bless this people, Lord. Oh, bless them indeed. Grant them thy good spirit. Grant the church and the congregation the unity of the Spirit. May they be of one mind in the Lord and one heart. Lord, do direct the church to do thy will. And do provide for this people a living ministry. And help their deacons, Lord. Bless their labours. Give them wisdom in their deliberations. Give them grace to use their office well. Lord, thy servants, we do pray for them each. Lord, help us to hold up one another's hands in prayer. Help thy people to hold up the hands of thy servants. Lord, we pray for those Aaron and hers. Oh, we thank thee for them. And those women which labour with us in the gospel, we thank thee for them. Lord, bless them. Hear their prayers still. And Lord, grant that we may be a watchful praying people. Lord, help us to watch against sin, to watch against the devil. But oh, above all, Lord, to watch thy hand, to watch for thy appearing, to watch for answers, to watch unto prayer. Lord, help those who have prayed perhaps a long time for something, the salvation of their souls, the forgiveness of their sins, a deliverance from some particular trial and trouble. Lord, a way made for them where there is none. Help them to pray on, for thou said they shall not pray in vain. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. Lord, we thank thee for thy answers to prayer. That were a grief I could not bear, didst thou not hear and answer prayer. But a prayer hearing, answering God supports me under every load. Remember afflicted ones. Lord, a good number of thy servants labour in much weakness and affliction. We pray for thy special help for them. Lord, may this affliction be sanctified to their good and the good of the people. Lord, Oh, make their sermons to smell of that field that the Lord hath blessed, even Christ himself. Lord, oh, let not our sermons smell of the flesh, we do pray. Lord, grant that savour of thy good ointments. Lord, we beseech thee, the fragrance of the name and the merits and the blood and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And Lord, grant those signs following the preaching of the word. May sinners be converted unto thee. And Lord, may transgressors be turned from the evil of their ways. Make the wicked to forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and turn unto the Lord, for thou said thou have mercy. Lord, may sinners here receive mercy. May we receive mercy this evening. Mercy, good Lord, mercy is the total sum. We've no other plea. Lord, our sinfulness stops every other plea. Lord, but, oh, nothing can stop thy mercy. Oh, we plead for it then. Let it come to us in a way that can't be stopped. Lord, break through all the barriers. That heart that refuses to receive mercy, that heart that feels unable to receive it, cannot take it. Press it in, Lord. Lord, let thy doctrine drop as the rain, and thy speech distill as the dew. Let mercy penetrate into our hearts, Lord, into our very beings, and let it pervade the whole of our life. Lord, bless the families. Watch over and keep the children. Favour them, Lord, with thy fear implanted, and keep it alive. And Lord, bring them early in life to know the Lord Jesus, and to love him, and to follow him and cleave to him. And Lord, to depart from evil. Lord, bring out the young from among this world. Be separate unto thee. Lord, do it for us each. Separate us daily. We beseech thee that gracious Holy Ghost separation. Provide for the young, Lord, places for further education, places of employment. Lord, a place to live according to thy will, the husband or a wife. Hear prayer again for those hoping to be joined together soon in this God-ordained union. Bless them abundantly. Direct the young, Lord, in their friendships. Oh, Lord, do cause that which is of thee to stand and overturn, we beseech thee, everything else. And Lord, we seek thy gracious and merciful preparation for all that lies before us in life's pathway, and above all for the end of the path. Oh, so do so prepare us. It shall be well with us while life endure, and well when called to die. Oh, Lord, hast thou put oil in our vessel? Lord, keep replenishing it. If not, do put it there, that we may at the midnight hour have that oil, that our lamp will not go out, that we may have nothing to do but to die. Oh, we pray for peace. Lord, grant it, we beseech thee. Men speak glibly of dying peacefully, but Lord, there's only one way, and only thou canst give it. Oh, may that be our favoured portion. The peace of God that passeth all understanding. Lord, remember any unable to be with us. We pray for healing mercies. Our friend and brother, the deacon, laid aside, and others. In mercy, restore them if it might please thee. And help those who are bereaved, who mourn, who feel the loss of loved ones. Make up the breach. Sanctify death. Solemn warning to us each. Then, Lord, have pity on our nation. Restrain the evil, we beseech thee. Overrule those in authority. Spare this land. Thou hast spared it. Else we must have been as Sodom and Gomorrah, consumed with fire from heaven. Lord, help the little remnant to still plead with thee as Abraham did. Thou wouldst spare the land and grant a renewed outpouring of thy spirit. Shine on thy churches, lest they die. Lord, renew thy former mercies. Send forth Holy Ghost anointed labourers into thy harvest. And may the heavenly paraclete their message seal on sinners' hearts. We bless thee for every mercy. Mercies countless as the sands. Help us to enter into thy courts with thanksgiving, for he who offereth praise glorifies thee, thou said. Tune our hearts to do it. And forgive all we ask amiss. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 15, 1-5. How shall I praise the eternal God, that infinite unknown? Who can ascend his high abode, or venture near his throne? Hymn number 15.
Thank you.
dependence on the Lord, I venture to direct you to the word before us this afternoon in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 4. Reading from verse 2 to the end of the chapter. The book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 4, verses 2 to 6. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defence. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. How full is the provision that the Lord makes for his people. In the covenant of his grace, in the person of his dear Son, the operations of his Holy Spirit, the Lord God Almighty hath every possible need covered. It has pleased him that in his dear Son should all fullness dwell. Jesus Christ, all and in all. As we said this afternoon, he is this branch. The branch we read of again this evening in Jeremiah, the branch of righteousness which the Lord said he would cause to spring up unto David. That blessed king, that blessed priest, eternal king, eternal priest. And we noticed how the Lord promised that this branch should be beautiful and glorious. Isaiah says, and of course this is speaking of man's natural consideration of Jesus Christ, and when we should see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. But oh, the Lord promises here to overcome that. As we notice by the regeneration, by the conviction of sin, oh, by the sinner's felt need. Oh, you see, this beauty of Christ. Oh, for the sinner who is made to feel and know their own defilement, their own ugliness. And how glorious, as we said, is this blessed one who giveth his beauty to sinners, who says to the spouse who is as black as the tents of Kedar, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee. And his glory is that he does this freely. He does this out of his own goodness. All the glory is his. Nothing belongs to the sinner. God forbid that I should glory, said Paul, save in the cross of Christ, by which the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. and the fruit of the earth, the fruit of what the Lord Jesus wrought on this earth. It shall be excellent. Oh, how excellent. Excelling everything else. And you see, this is what these people need. When they find, as we sung in that last hymn this morning, when Jesus' gracious hand has touched our eyes and ears, oh, what a barren land this wilderness appears. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, the Lord has granted them through this glorious branch a Passover. He could not destroy them when he destroyed the wicked. But it was only this precious blood they were sheltered beneath. It was only their part in the Lamb's Book of Life secured them. But oh, as we notice the work of the Spirit upon them, they sigh and cry for the abominations done in the midst. And the Lord puts a mark on them and says to the destroying servant, come not near any man on whom is the mark. The living in Jerusalem, not everyone that inhabited Jerusalem was living. Not everyone in a profession is living. Not everyone in a congregation is living. The Lord knows who are. He is their life. He has quickened them by his Spirit. The life they live in the flesh. If they can't say they live by the faith of the Son of God, they desire that faith. We spoke of the least indication, the least evidence of life. The dead know not anything. The living know what the Lord has taught them, and they know that in themselves there is no life. And they are hungering and thirsting after it. They are alive in some measure by the operation of the Spirit, as we said. Oh, how these living people often mourn over their death. But the Lord puts forth the power of his quickening Spirit, and that's what makes the living in Jerusalem. One moment they're as dead can be, and the next moment they're living. As prayerless, as careless as can be, the next moment exercised, hungering, thirsting, panting for the living God. But now we must come to this second half of the text. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion. In this branch is the precious blood that washes away the filth of the daughters of Zion. The Lord does the washing. He takes them and washes them. You remember how just before the Lord Jesus' sufferings, he had that to teach his disciples, both humility and the necessity of washing. And he took a towel and a basin of water and began to wash the disciples' feet. And Peter said, Lord, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus said to him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. making Peter say, Lord, not my feet, but my head and my hands. If I wash thee not. Here is encouragement for the filthy sinner. The sinner who hears of that precious blood, that fountain opened. But what does the Lord say? And of course it's written in the same period in history as this prophecy of Isaiah, roughly. He says, in that day there shall be a fountain opened unto the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And it is, of course, the fountain of Jesus' precious blood. How is it that fountain can cleanse? It can cleanse because God has opened it. It can cleanse because the fountain is the fountain of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It can cleanse because in that cleansing there is the applying operation of the Holy Spirit. Now all manner of sin and of blasphemy shall be cleansed away. We have all manner, don't we? Oh, was it not in one of the recent sermons, the man of God in his sermon said, sinner, you don't know a thousandth part of your sins. The psalmist knew it, didn't he? And he prayed very wisely. And the Lord make you and me pray wisely. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. When he shall have washed away the filth. But you see, the way the Lord does this, in every case, is to make his people feel the filth. Real religion is more than notion. You can't have your sins washed away until the Lord makes you in some measure to feel the filth of them. And it is the grace of this righteous branch bestowed upon his people that makes them to feel their sin. And you see, the Lord also makes his people to feel and know they can't wash the filth away themselves. Foolishly, for a time, we do. The ascetic in that beautiful hymn 144, he thought if he strove hard enough, he could get rid of that filth, didn't he? But he found the more he strove against sin's power, he sinned and stumbled but the more. A hopeless case. Am I speaking to a filthy sinner here this evening? And you say, like the woman with the issue of blood, go to this doctor and that doctor. I've spent all my money and I'm no better but rather worse. I'm filthier than ever I was. Perhaps you felt so filthy that you hardly dare come into the house of God. This is the place for these people. Because the gospel I am trying, by the Lord's help, to preach to you again this evening is the gospel of grace, whereby God puts away the sins. And he doesn't call you to wash yourself from your sin. He says, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth. The hymn on the fountain, it says, the viler the wretch, the welcomer here. You think of those characters in the Word of God. And the Lord help you to take their examples and plead them with the Lord. Lord, thou didst wash away David's sin. The sin of adultery and murder. The sin of numbering the people. The sin of going down into the land of the Philistines. Thou didst even wash away the filth of Samson's sins. The sin of adultery that he committed. The sin of breaking the vow of the Nazarene. And oh, how Samson, he had to prove that sinning is not a cheap matter. They took out his eyes, didn't they? They made him to grind in the prison. But that hair that was cut off, it began to grow again. The Lord washed away his filth. And he prayed one last prayer, and in his death he slew more Philistines than he had in all his life. Lord, thou didst wash away the sin of Manasseh. Thou didst wash away the sin of Peter, the sin of the dying thief. The sins of Saul of Tarsus, later named the Apostle Paul. And Lord, thou dost say that if we confess our sins, thou wilt forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now the washing is in two respects. There is the guilt to be washed away. When the Lord pronounces a full and a complete pardon, that man that was let down on his bed into the midst of the house through the roof, and when Jesus saw him, he said, Son, thy sins are forgiven thee. The woman are taken in adultery, neither do I condemn thee. The woman in the city which was a sinner, thy sins are forgiven thee. Guilt put away. But you see, then the Lord went on to say to that woman taken in adultery, go and sin no more. That's the double cure. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth, it doesn't mean that person is no longer a sinner. They will be until they die, and then they won't be. At death, they will never sin again. That's what's so attractive, isn't it? The twin attraction, I might say, of heaven to a living child of God, to these living ones in Jerusalem. They're not living for the things of this world. Because here, as I quoted this afternoon, dear Samuel Rutherford, he says, Anworth isn't heaven. There's trouble there. Preaching isn't Christ. There's sin in my preaching. But glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. The two things, I shall be with Christ and I won't be a sinner. Isn't that a good enough prospect? There isn't a better one. To be with God and to be no longer a sinner, that's heaven. But we've got to be washed to get there. The washing must take place here in this life, when I shall have washed away the filth. So as we said, the Lord doesn't, here on this earth, eradicate sin. He can't do that. Because it is part of our fallen nature, which we must have. It's the body in which our soul dwells. But there is a washing away of the filth. Oh, the love of Christ overcoming the love of sin. The faith, you know, and I'm speaking of that woman who the Lord said, neither do I condemn thee. It's fresh in my memory from yesterday. You see, when the Lord said, go and sin no more, he was sending her in the only way she wouldn't sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. There's no sin in faith. There's no sin in trusting in the Lord. That gift, that grace of faith, it cleanses. The sinner's eye is upon him, and while their eye is upon him, there is a subduing of their iniquities. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Ye are not under the law, but under grace. God is not requiring you by your endeavours to stop sinning. He is subduing the power of your sins because he's washed you in the blood of Jesus. When this is fresh, particularly when this is fresh in our experience, and that means we need it daily, my dear friend. But when it is fresh in our experience, oh, what a sin-conquering power the blood of Jesus Christ, the love of Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ has. When you by faith are given to discern in some little measure what sin costs Christ. Oh, you see, this has a restraining effect. It has a constraining effect. I will run the way of thy commandments, said the psalmist, when thou shalt enlarge my heart. And shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof. You shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem. David prayed to be cleansed, to be saved from blood guiltiness, didn't he? He literally had blood on his hands. He by proxy had murdered Uriah. But you think about the blood of Jerusalem. What those Jews said to Pilate concerning the blood of Jesus Christ. His blood be on us and on our children. And where did Jesus command his disciples to first preach the cleansing efficacy of that blood? To Jerusalem. To the Jerusalem sinners. Purging the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof. By the spirit of judgment. And by the spirit of burning. Now this is by the Holy Spirit. One spirit. And he is the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. You remember what John Baptist said to the people? When they came to see his baptizings and some of them came to be baptized. He said, I baptize you with water. But there cometh one after me who was before me, whose shoes latched I'm not worthy to loose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Isaiah chapter 9. Every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments dyed in blood. But this shall be with burning of fuel and with fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful. By the Spirit of Judgment. Only the Holy Spirit can make known the judgment of God in Jesus Christ. And what is that judgment? It is the judgment that in men there is none righteous but one, that is Jesus Christ. The judgment is that your very best is stained and dyed with sin, and your all is nothing worse. And this is the spirit of burning. The Holy Spirit burns up a man's own righteousness, burns up his own beauty, burns up his own structure. Paul says, doesn't he, the fire should try every man's work of what sort it is. Child of God, you have known this, have you not? The spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. Those hopes in yourself you had, the Holy Spirit, by his judgment, he burns them up. God cannot receive them. And you see, the Holy Spirit uses the word of God. Paul says, I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, which commandment? The commandment in this book, God's law. But Saul, Paul, you knew the word of God. You were studying the word of God. Yes, but there wasn't the Holy Spirit. But the time came because Saul was numbered among the Lord's people when the Spirit is given. And he says, the commandment came, sin revived and I died. Now with regard to this spirit of judgment and burning, remember the words of the Lord Jesus in this same prophecy, where he speaks of his Father anointing him with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the meek, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to the bound, to give beauty for ashes. The branch of the Lord shall be beautiful and glorious. To whom? These, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion by the Spirit of judgment. We tried to speak a little of this afternoon, didn't we? Oh, how beautiful to an utterly lost sinner. How beautiful to a sinner who's lost all their own comeliness. All their comeliness turns into corruption. Now the beauty, God in his everlasting love and mercy, saying he will save his people only and solely through the righteousness of Jesus. Cleanse them from their sins only by his precious blood. Receive them only in his name. Beautiful, isn't it? But it will be seen to be beautiful. Yon lovely man, said Yeddy. He needed nothing else. He's lost his appetite for everything else. By the spirit of judgment, when the spirit shows you your sins, you can't shake it off. And you can't cleanse yourself. But the Lord, at that instant, he causes Jesus Christ to be lifted up before you. And it's the Spirit's work, the judgment. Remember, Jesus said, the Spirit will not only reprove of sin, convince of sin, he will convince of righteousness and of judgment. Oh, when the Spirit convinces a sinner of the blessed person and finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you're convinced in your heart that he is the Christ, you're convinced in your heart of his blessed finished work, you're convinced in his heart, and you go to him, you come to him because of that spirit of judgment and of burning. You flee in all your guilt and misery to him. And the Spirit seals on your heart the pardon, the righteousness. And the burning's still going on. You thought when you were coming in that way you were humble. But when the Spirit gives you a glimpse of Christ, you're more humble still. You thought you were repentant. But when the Spirit gives you a sight of Christ by faith, your heart becomes like wax. Where are your idols? You see, the spirit of burning is still going on. Do I speak to those here this evening and you realise how many idols you've got? And you don't realise all of them. The Lord says, from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you? How? Berridge says, doesn't he? Soon as faith, my Lord can see hanging on the cross for me, the burning's going on. The idols are burnt up. Quick, my idols all depart. Oh, my earthliness. Jesus Christ is a remedy for that. Thy people shall be willing in the day of my power. By the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Everything is burnt up except Christ, that precious gold. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. And the Lord will create. It's a beautiful word, isn't it, create? What does it mean? It is to make something out of nothing. That's creation. Only God can create. Men may take materials that God has created and make things with them. But God is the creator. His works of creation in nature are beyond their comprehension. But there's a work of creation greater than that. And here it is. He will create. To whom is this word create so precious? When what the Lord says he will create, there are no materials to use for that. And how was it in creation? In 6 days, God created everything out of nothing. Day by day, the Word of God tells us, God spake, and it was done. There was no water. He created it, and there it was. Billions of gallons of it. Trillions. In fact, no numbers probably can measure it. The dust of the earth, the creatures, man, the heavens, the sun, the moon, the stars. When the Lord's time has come to create something, He speaks and it is done. You remember just now I was speaking of the manifestation of life. How one moment this poor sinner seems to be as dead can be. The next moment he's alive, as prayerless can be. And the next moment he's praying. And in the Lord's people's experience, they find the lack. The Lord causes them to find the lack. A lack of these blessings that the text promises. That's always how the Lord works with his people. Paul said, didn't he, my God shall supply all your need. When this poor sinner feels to be defenseless, feels to know not what to do, feels to be in darkness and there to be no light, doesn't feel the presence of the Lord, but how their soul longs for. The Lord satisfies that longing by this creation. He will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the mount of God's sovereign grace. It is the mount of Christ's victory over sin, death, and every other foe of the church. Mount Zion is therefore the church of God, because that grace is upon a church. That victory was to save a church, to purchase a church, to build a church, to have a church. Mount Zion, now the dwelling place. Mount Zion, the church of God, is made up of people, the Lord's people, and they have dwelling places. We read of that house of Bethany where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, and we read of that house, the Lord loved each one of those inhabitants. That was one of the dwelling places of Zion. And now the Lord, when he came into that place, he fulfilled this text, creating upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion a cloud and a smoke by day and the shining of a flaming fire by night. but it's also upon her assemblies. And that's what gives us to understand that the Lord is actually speaking of the places where his people live, because then he also adds, and her assemblies. The Lord has commanded his people to assemble themselves together. And the place where he calls them to assemble together to is Mount Zion. The word of God is read. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached. Prayer is made unto that church, unto that God, the God of Zion. The believer comes to that Mount Zion, which is above all else Jesus Christ and the blood of sprinkling. But the Lord says he will create upon people's homes and upon the church of God, the places of the assembly, a cloud and smoke by day. There's a reference here to what the Lord granted the children of Israel when he brought them up out of Egypt. And we must keep close to the scripture in trying to simply speak of what this cloud and smoke and the fire means. In the book of Exodus, where this is spoken of, God tells us why he gave the fiery, cloudy pillar. The cloudy pillar by day was to guide them. To guide them. When the cloud moved, they were to follow that cloud. When the cloud stopped, stood still, they were to stand still. The Lord says he'll create this. That means he will cause these people, both in their homes and in the house of God, to discern the Lord's will as to what they should do. Oh, you know, when that south wind of the blessed Spirit blows, and Jesus Christ is set forth in all his love and mercy and grace, the power of his precious blood, the freeness of that grace, what is the cloud doing? It is moving. The sinner is following it. The Holy Ghost is leading that sinner. And who is he leading them to? Jesus Christ. Oh, my dear friend, do you know this? Do you feel your need of it? Draw me, we will run after thee. And when, under the preaching of the word, the Holy Spirit shows us where we're going wrong, the cloud stops, doesn't it? And we have to stop. And when that cloud then moves, it's in a different direction to what we were going before. It's repentance. It's a turning from our former course. What a blessing this cloud is. But you see, then, the other thing that in the scripture is set forth by a cloud with regard to the Lord's presence is the mystery of it. A cloud hides, doesn't it? You remember on the Mount of Transfiguration? When the disciples, the three disciples with Jesus, saw Moses and Elijah standing with him, they in their foolishness said, Lord, let us make three tabernacles. One for thee and one for Moses and one for Elijah. And while they spake, a cloud came and covered the Lord Jesus. And there came a voice out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And they lifted up their eyes and they saw no man save Jesus only. How often in the Lord's people's experience a cloud covers the Lord, but yet he is there. He's hidden from them again and again in the scriptures. You think of that resurrection morning, Christ is hidden, but then he reveals himself. The two on the Emmaus Road and the disciples in those subsequent revelations of Christ. They see a man on the shore and don't know who it is. But then John is given to discern who it is. A cloud and smoke by day. But then it also sets forth this. Here on this earth, the Lord will only be seen through a glass darkly. It is impossible for us. We are incapable of seeing the Lord with our eyes. 'Tis by the eye of faith. And Paul says we see through a glass darkly. A cloud and smoke by day. But then another purpose of the cloud for the Israelites was to hide them from their foes. How the Lord himself hides his people from their foes. And how does this operate? You see, all the while you're warring in the flesh, all the while you're trying to defend yourself in the flesh, you're very visible to your enemies. And you're no match for them. But when the Lord descends in the person of his Son and enables you to take your enemies within and without, and lay them before him and plead with him to defend you, you're out of the sight of your enemies. You're hidden by the cloud. They may wonder why they don't prevail against you. The secret is hidden from them. You're there in your closet, whether it's actually in a closet or separated, enclosed by this cloud, wherever you are in your life. God can see you because he is in that cloud. You're with him in that cloud. God knows you're praying to him. He's hearing your prayers and he will answer them. And the shining of a flaming fire by night. This was to give light by night, to give warmth by night, to give defense by night. It's well known in the countries where there are wild beasts at large that one of the best ways to preserve a camp of people from those wild beasts is to light a fire, because the wild beasts have a fear of fire. That's put in them by their creator. We've seen in the reports from across the world the horrendous effects of those wildfires, and of course the animals. They know this. And they flee from fire because they know what a damaging thing it is. The fire then is a light and a defense. The Lord himself. And there shall be, for upon all the glory shall be a defense. A defense by day, a defense by night. But look at the wording, upon all the glory. What is all the glory? It is God and his church. You think of the word of God, the glory of that word. How the devil, how men have sought to overthrow that word. But God has defended it, and he ever will. The well-known poem concerning the blacksmith's shop. A pile of worn-out hammers in the corner. And the visitor says, "What are all those hammers I've worn out? How many anvils have you had?" "Just the one. I've still got the same anvil." The word of God is the anvil. The hammers are being worn out on it. The anvil will never be worn out. There's a defence. It's the word of God. But then you see, it came to me like this. There shall be a defence on this glory. Sometimes God has raised up men in defence of this glory. And you know, really, all the Lord's people, under the power of the Lord, the fear of the Lord and faith, and above all, love. God in his love defends his word. And God gives his people that love in their little measure. They defend that word. But it's God that's doing the defending. They have to beg the Lord's help in it. The Lord said to Jeremiah, didn't he, "If thou take forth the precious and the vile." Because what is the world? What is the devil trying to do continually? He's trying to stop there being a separation. But God said to Jeremiah, "If they take forth the precious and the vile, thou shalt be as my mouth. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Paul says, if anyone come with a doctrine contrary to what you've received, mark that man well and avoid him. The defence, the fear of the Lord, the teaching of the Spirit. God defends. And you see, he defends his church. The church is continually under assault. The sinner has a foe within him, within her. A foe without, the devil, the world. I thought of what the Lord said to Abraham. He feared. He'd won that battle over the kings. He'd rescued Lot. And evidently he feared that those kings were going to come back with a greater army and overthrow him. And the Lord said to Abraham that night in a vision, "Fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Upon all the glory shall be a defence. And how the Lord defends his people. You know, and Jesus Christ is the defence. Came to me like this as I just went out for a little walk in the interval. Oh, you know, we're indefensible, except by Jesus Christ. We're transgressors. You see the glory. When you have had the glory of the Lord revealed to you, the Lord doesn't leave it with you to defend that glory. John Newton, that dream he had, that precious ring, and someone came sidling along and said, "It's worthless, throw it away." And he threw it over, and as soon as he realised he'd gone into the water, he realised what he'd lost. One came up out of the water with it, came on board his ship, stood alongside him, and John Newton was expecting him to put that precious ring back in his hand. He said, no, I'll keep it for you. Oh, how many a child of God, all of them, have been so thankful for this defense when they feel that they have lost. They feel in their experience they've lost the Lord. He hasn't lost them. They've lost their righteousness. He hasn't lost it. He is their righteousness. They feel they've lost their sealing. He hasn't lost it. Upon all the glory shall be a defense. And the defense is, I love that one. I died for that one. The defense is his covenant. What do we read in Jeremiah this evening? If my covenant be not with day and night, God has covenanted that day shall follow night at his appointed time, 24 hours, 12 hours day, 12 hours night. If my covenant be not with day and night, then will I cast off my people which I have chosen. He would not. His covenant is the defense. He says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is appointed, that is, alter the thing that has gone out of my mouth. And you see, my dear friend, the Lord makes this defense his people's defense in their soul's experience. David saw his house was not so with God. He's not going to try and defend himself, make excuses about his house. No. He says, yet hath he made with me an everlasting covenant. That's the defense. Ordered in all things and sure. This is all my salvation and all my desire. You look back on your life when you come to your end, child of God, and you'll see in your part nothing but failure. How you come to die. These people will be defended in death. They're not going to be brought safely to heaven on the ground of anything they've done. They're going to be brought to safely to heaven, not because they've chosen him, but because he's chosen them and he has shed his precious blood for them. And there shall be a tabernacle, that's Jesus Christ, sacred humanity. The tabernacle of this body he spoke of, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again. The tabernacle which the Lord pitched. He had no earthly father of his sacred humanity. The Lord pitched it. And that tabernacle stands. That's the building the church of God has in heaven. Christ in our nature. There should be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime. The shadow of a great rock. In a weary land, the tallness, the greatness of the Son of God. That rock for weary sinners made. Here let me rest my weary head while thunders blaze and lightnings roll. The shadow in the daytime from the heat. Whatever that heat is, it speaks particularly of the heat of the noonday sun of God's law, but it can speak of the heat of temptation, the heat of trial, the heat of affliction, the heat of trouble. Jesus fulfilled that law. He stood against the tempter. In all his people's afflictions, he was afflicted. Oh, what heat of death the dear Saviour endured. That cold night in Gethsemane, he sweat great drops of blood. If you get a face view of that, my dear friend, this tabernacle will be a shadow from the heat. And for a place of refuge, You see, the Lord has said he'll create upon every dwelling place. Wherever the Lord's people are, the Lord is. He's not a refuge a long way away. Paul says, doesn't he, the word of faith which we preach, it says not who shall ascend into heaven, bring Christ down, descend into the depths. He says the word is nigh thee, and the Lord creates this cloudy pillar, this cloud and this fire. The Lord is there. Jehovah Shalom, the last verse of the prophecy of Ezekiel. The name of that city should be called Jehovah Shalom. The Lord is there. Do you find him in the middle of the night sometimes? When? When you need a refuge. You need help. You need salvation. You need a hiding place. You're full of fears. And do you know the blessedness of entering into the refuge? You say, how do you enter in? Well, try this. Lord, help me. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. You know that prayer, Lord, help me. Men may despise it and say, can't you pray a longer prayer than that? The length of your prayer doesn't matter. It's what you pray. There's everything in that prayer. Lord, help me. That's a refuge. Do you deserve help? No. Jesus helps undeserving cases. Have you done what he's told you to do? No. This man receives sinners who don't do what the Lord tells them to do. But when they fly to him, they are doing what he's told them to do. A refuge. A place of refuge and for a cover from storm and from rain. See, whatever it is, this righteous branch, this beautiful, glorious branch, however bad your case is, it cannot be too bad for the Lord Jesus. And whatever your case consists of, it cannot consist of something which the Lord does not know about and is not able to address. He knows you can't stand against sin. He stood against it. And he's able by his grace to cause you to stand against it. He knows you don't know what to do. He knows what he will do. And he is able to tell you. And he knows all those things that are hidden from you in your life. And he knows what is best. The gold and the silver. Go back to that word create. Peter speaks, doesn't he, of committing the keeping of your souls unto him as unto a faithful creator. A refuge when a sinner feels I've got nothing. When the refuge is Jesus Christ, my dear friend, you can go to him with nothing. Because he's got everything. He is everything. And for a cover from storm and from rain. Well, the Lord bless his word and cause it to remain with us and help us each to plead it with him. He might fulfill it. What a wonderful thing it would be. If we proved again this night upon our dwelling place, but trust we have proved in some measure upon this assembly even this day, the cloud and the fire, the refuge, the defence, upon all the glory shall be this defence. I, the Lord, do keep it. Amen.
The collections today are for the Bethesda Short Stay Fund. Let us close with hymn number 214, 214. Dear Lord, remember me, a sinner weak and vile, full of impiety and fraught with sin and guile. I cannot hope but in thy blood. Remember me, O Lord, for good. Hymn 214.
O Lord, we thank thee for thy word. Do ask thy blessing. Grant us each journey mercies. Do forgive anything that has been ours. Let that fall to the ground. But Lord, let thy word live. Let it stand. Let it bear fruit in our lives. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.